They say when you come to the great state of Texas from the large country up north, Canada, you definitely got to believe in yourself. We'll talk about that and much more on this episode of The Crude Truth.
In 1901, at Spindletop Hill near Beaumont, the future of Texas changed dramatically as, like a fountain of fortune, thousands of barrels of oil burst from the earth towards the sky. Soon, Detroit would be cranking out Model Ts by the millions, and America was on the move, thanks to the black gold being produced in Texas. Now, more than a century later, the vehicles are different, but nothing else has truly changed. Sure, there may be many other alternative energy sources like wind and solar and electric, but let's be honest, America depends on oil and entrepreneurs, and if the USA is truly going to be independent, it has to know the crude truth.
This episode of The Crude Truth is brought to you by Oil and Gas Workers Association, Sandstone Group, Air Compressor Solutions, Basin Fluids, and The Fuel Pros.
Well, thank you for listening, whatever day and time it is. Please be sure to like us, subscribe to us, leave nothing but five-star reviews. I'm once again here at the newest Real News Studios in Southlake, sitting here today with basically my best friend from Canada, but don't tell him that because he is actually Texan by in the heart. He's definitely deep in the heart of Texas, as I would say. My guest today is Keith Stettler. Keith, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for having me. This is my first time ever in a real fancy studio like this. So, I'm honored to be here.
No. First of all, I'm honored. What you're doing right now, thank you. And the reason why I'm honored is, one, because that hair looks amazing.
Thank you.
Listeners out there, this man has some great looking hair. He's got the beard going on. Ladies, he is married, okay? But if you want to talk about a guy that probably looks like one of those throwback 1990s, late 80s hockey players, Keith is your guy. I will tell you that much.
It comes with, the upbringing. And, my last haircut was pretty expensive. So I haven't decided what I'm going to do with my hair, this time. But you never know what could happen.
Now, when you talk about that, was that the one that you did, that challenge you did for the Sky High?
Sky High for Kids?
Yes.
It raises, it's a charity that raises funds for kids with cancer or other kind of diseases. And a lot of the money stays here in Texas. They work with St. Jude's and all that kind of thing. And what ended up happening a couple years ago, I went to one of their banquets. And people were donating their hair. It was generally, it was women, obviously, or it's more common. But my hair was already kind of a little bit long, and I was due a haircut. And I was like, man, they got a banquet coming up in a year in the Permian. If I just kind of let my hair go for a year, I wonder if I could, do something with it. And it turned out it was probably borderline. There'd be a lot of arguments if it was long enough or not. But another great guy, a shout out to JP Warren, he came up. And he was going to donate his hair, and Gabriel Cruz and Nicholas Talent, and they were all doing this. So I kind of turned it into just, hey, instead of sending donations, we turned it into a Permian versus Houston, who can donate the most money for kids with cancer. And in the end, the Permian came through, and I ended up getting a haircut for $13,000. So that's where now it's kind of hard to go and pay for a haircut, when I'm getting the one, raising money. So,
man, well, and yes, you live in Midland. And so thank you very much for coming up just to come to the studios and do this interview today, because you have been, as I like to say, blowing and going. You have been rocking and rolling there in the Midland area for several years now, to where you, when you walk into town, it's like, oh yeah, I know Keith. Keith, you would think you were born and raised here, but you're not. You are from Canada, but that's okay. I mean, they are our brother to the north. For those of you, both of my listeners that don't know your background, can you share a little bit about how you ended up in the great state of Texas?
Well, the cliff notes was, I was raised up on a farm, northeast of Edmonton, Alberta. And my dad hauled rigs in the wintertime when he wasn't farming. And so I've always kind of been around the oil and gas industry. I ended up starting out of school with Schlumberger. Always watched football movies and shows like that. So I was more into football than I was hockey. So I always wanted to live in Texas. So, that's how the goal with Schlumberger was like, man, I want to work for you guys because eventually I want to transfer down to Texas. So I originally, you know, 2006, got transferred down to Graham, Texas. Met my wife in Cleburne, Texas, with all the Barnett Shale going on. Got married and eventually got out to the Permian through, you know, changing jobs, moving around a little bit as the area manager for Wireline with them before they, you know, shut down Wireline for the U.S. And then COVID hit. And instead of being an operations guy for like I was for the last, you know, almost 20 years, ended up, you know, needing a job. Yeah. So a case of necessity, took to LinkedIn and a few other things and marketed myself and somehow got some attention and bing, bang, boom, ended up here on the Crew Truth. So
fast forwarded.
Yeah, that's the cliff notes for sure.
Well, you know, you talk about Graham. What you were doing the Wireline there in Graham.
Yeah, you know, that was right at the heart when it was pump downs and it was starting, and it was before, you know, a lot of the slick line, you know, or, you know, coated line stuff. It was still pretty new. It was, you know, they were still experimenting. Like I remember doing runs with only two or three guns at the time, you know, and they had like 12, 14 shots in these things to where now it's 20 guns or something with one or two, you know, perfs in it. And that's kind of how the whole thing has evolved over the years. Oh. So it's, I've seen some seismic, you know, I was having a conversation with someone the other day. There's wells that I'm not going to say who did them, but near Godley, Texas, we're seeing the seismic. They left like 70% of that stuff unfracked downhole, man. Like just because of the way, you know, the fluid goes, and no one ever really adjusted a whole lot for my knowledge. But that's why I'm like, recompleting some of these horizontals might be something people want to look into these days.
We've looked into it at Pecos, and we've got some leases near Graham, and that's been our bread and butter, our recompletions, reworks, you know, by recomplete, you know, doing some refracts in there, because especially during the Barnett Shale boom and even further back here in the great state of Texas, there always seems to be some form of the wild, wild west of let's just get it out of the ground. Let's go and then get it out, get it pumping, go get the next well. And then as we've gotten older and as science has actually gotten better, which is kind of interesting, we could talk about science and climate change, but we won't go on that one. But science has evolved and it shows, like you just said, that there's so much oil still down hole that we can actually go back in, recomplete, reperf, or just rework a well real quick, you know, get some good old fashioned chemical down, safe chemical, you know, and put one online. So, that whole area is a great spot for that type of work.
Well, you mentioned climate change and a bunch of other things, you know, through this, you know, maze of LinkedIn, I've run into so many other people, you know, geothermal, like in East Texas, it's hot downhole, right? Or South Texas, there's some 300 degree, you know, plus stuff. And the biggest challenge for a lot of those guys in the geothermal is drilling the well. And I'm like, man, just come out here. There's wells. You could trip over the wells that are out here.
Yeah.
Once they're done completing, you know, they were talking about the cost for one of their geothermal closed units. If it got 300 degrees downhole, it goes from $3 million to about $400,000.
Yeah.
And you can produce about a megawatt of power a day for like 30 years. That's, to me, okay, drain it dry of the oil and then start selling electricity for some of these things. And that ingenuity, I think Texas is the place to do it because, man, it's always been a great place for me. And that's why I love, you know, raising my kids here.
Well, first of all, Texas is the best, but I can't confirm nor deny that Pecos is looking into geothermal. I think it is something we can use for the future. And it's something that you can technically that we've seen use almost all the same people that we've been using for 15 years in the oil and gas industry, you know, from drilling companies to, because a lot of the network and the infrastructure is a lot of oil and gas. So we're not really losing any jobs and we could be adding a few jobs down the road.
You know, the population's growing every day. We need more energy, not less of it. I don't think the oil and gas industry should be afraid one bit of, you know, alternative energies. It should be working with them because oil and gas isn't going away. Like you need plastics, you need materials. Like if all of a sudden you're going to need diesel for forever. I don't care how many electric cars there is. And the reason why you're always going to need diesel is for harvest. Harvest time on a farm. I have a friend, my father's run into some guys because he takes his idea of a vacation is driving around like Illinois and looking for farmers to talk to. Yeah. And he's befriended a few of them. And one of them actually tests out some electric combines.
Yeah.
And the one, you know, big company, you know, I'm not going to say their name, brought him, test this out. And he's like, man, works great. How long to recharge this thing? 24 hours. He's like, it's garbage. Yeah. They're like, what? Yeah. He's like, if I had to shut down for 24 hours during the window of harvest, he's like, I would lose like a third of the, you know, material. He's just like, can't be done till you can make it where you can fuel this thing up like a combine can in 15 minutes and keep going. Just go back to the drawing board.
And that's what I tell people. It's like, once we get an alternate fuel source that can be in the diesel rigs, in the jet planes, and in the ships, then we'll have something. But until then, we won't have a real additional energy source.
I think, you know, LNG could clean it up a little bit. I've talked to a bunch of those guys too, with, you know, the little bit of a show that I have on LinkedIn, which is great. And it's amazing what's out there, you know, even produce water. There's great ways to use, you know, flare gas to clean up produce water. I'd love for guys to stop using saltwater disposal wells and just clean up the water and start irrigating the Permian and turn it green one day. And then everyone would stop complaining it's ugly and brown. You know what I mean?
So, well, you know, I think a million years ago, it was probably pretty green and pretty. And I mean, that's why there's so much oil there. Cause at some one time it was under the water. And, you know, and all the fossils and everything, you know. And so that's why there's so much oil there in the Permian. But you just mentioned something, and it's a podcast, and it is your podcast. It is Tally Book Troubleshooting.
Yes, sir. Tally Book Troubleshooting, and I usually host it on Tuesdays. So yes. I use the hashtag Tally Book Tuesday. So sometimes people call it Tally Book Tuesday, Tally Book Troubleshooting. You're not going to hurt my feelings. I don't know if I'd really even call it a podcast because I don't really upload it. You know, it's on YouTube, but for the most part, people watch it on LinkedIn. And hopefully, you know, it's just something kind of in the background that, you know, while you're working, you got your browser open and LinkedIn's in the background. And I've been real fortunate that people have kind of taken to it. And I've been invited to broadcast from different areas like the, you know, PBIOS, you know, Permian Basin International Oil Show. I'm going to Texas Tech, their petroleum, this short course, you know, to broadcast from there. A lot of production engineers and companies will be there, and I'm being hosted by a rod companies, you know, taking me out there, which is like, okay, great. You know, I know it's not part of our, you know, core business of what I sell, but it's great just being out there and meeting people. And you never know who the guy is that you'll meet who is the next guy, you know, your business needs too. Right. And it's all about trying to, maybe I can't help with your construction or something today, but I know the rod guy over here that you should really talk to. And, just because of doing those sorts of things. So, you know, I've been very, very fortunate doing
well, it. Well, I wanted to make sure I got the name right because I know a good friend of yours, Janie Snelson, it gets upset if people don't say Tally Book Troubleshooting.
She is the one that came up with the name. Okay. One day we were kind of brainstorming what we should come up with, and shout out to her. She's been a great mentor to me and welcoming. You know, the Permian is a pretty tight community. There's, you know, people you want to get in with, people maybe you should sometimes avoid or something. Maybe they're, Janie's definitely one of the good ones. And she's welcomed me in like family. The other day she took my kids out because it was spring break to the jump park and lunch and a bunch of other things, driving around town. And, you know, she's their pseudo, you know, adoptive grandparent out there. So she loves them and we love her. And, you know, she reached out to me on LinkedIn, like for a lot of these things, she saw the content I was putting out there. She's like, man, well, why isn't this guy, you know, it was when I was looking for my job, you know, during COVID, why isn't this guy, you know, I know it's slow, but this guy should have a job. And, she met with me. And so she's been pretty, you know, if I really need help with something, she's like, man, I wish I could go talk to so-and-so. And she's like, oh, just let me get on the phone. And she's like, I don't do that for a lot of anybody else, Keith. And I'm like, I understand. So I've been, now that I'm working with a lot of more midstream people, she doesn't have those connections. So I've I'm finally getting the chance to return the favor and introduce her some, you know, facilities people and a few others. So it's been a great, you know, great journey there.
In the I've had an opportunity to meet her once. My good friend, Brian Lauder, who's actually here in studio today, I invited him. And, but he was also saying that I better mention Janie or else, you know, he was saying a few things, but I had an opportunity to meet her. Brian introduced me to her at, the Wildcatters in Midland. I'm a member here at Fort Worth and just such a nice lady. And in the 5 minutes I was there, she included me in every conversation, you know, right there because Wildcatters was packed. I think it was for Double Eagle, I think. And I mean, it was packed. And so right there in our little group, and it was, she brought somebody new walked into the group. She included them in the group. Oh, hey, this is such and such. And just so, yes, no, shout out to Miss Jamie. Very nice lady.
And she's, you know, done it the right way for a lot of years out there. And to the point where, you know, Clay Gaspar is the one that gave her her nickname, you know, Clay, like, I'm pretty sure he's the COO of Devon, right?
Yeah.
Gave her the nickname, the unofficial mayor of Midland. So when you get someone like that, you know, doing that, it, like I said, shout out to her. She's been a huge influence in mentoring me. Cause I, you know, between her and my wife, cause I wasn't a salesman at all.
You were an operations guy.
I was an operations guy, and I'll admit operations is easier because people have to listen to you. You know, your employees have to. As a salesman, to get someone you don't know to get their attention, then listen to you with any kind of respect is quite the journey that you have to take because at the end of the day, they don't have to listen to you.
Yeah.
And that, you know, if you're a smarter guy and you've been around, that's sometimes a big hit to the ego, and it's sales is a big ride. And my wife went to Baylor for professional sales.
Oh, wow.
So she is very successful in her own right. So whenever I, you know, need something to, you know, shout out to Erin, my wife. She made this. Like that's her line. She's like, I made this.
Well, you know, during COVID, I was on I did a show with JP Warren a while back, and I did my bout in sales a little bit during COVID because we didn't know exactly what may or may not happen, and so if anybody in the sales world reaches out, I give them 5 minutes because I know what it's like to be on the other side of that, to knock on a door and say, hey, how are you? You know, I'm such and such, and I'm selling a widget today. Can I tell you why my widget's better than the other guy's gadget? And, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And the same thing, like you just said, you usually can even build a relationship to where maybe not exactly this product's going to work, but you might know somebody. But relationships are cultivated. And, you know, I tell people that I met my wife the old fashioned way. You know, we met at a public place, and I had to go up to her and go, hi, how are you? And so I think that was at least enough to say, okay, maybe I can go at least talk to some other people, because it's different nowadays. I mean, you mentioned LinkedIn and social media. I mean, the way people really are able to expand their reach these days with those. So I think it's pretty cool that you at least that you have that knowledge on the operation side to now come in and have Tallybook troubleshooting. And I mean, just to talk about that, you've had some pretty great guests and you've had some pretty wild stories on your little show there.
I had one lady, she was running a charity in Houston. You know, she was sitting down. It was at the Roseland Oil and Gas Show.
Yeah.
Sits down. This other guy kind of introduces him, and she survived a plane crash.
Yeah.
A 747, like a 737, like not the biggest plane, but like still like hundreds of people on this plane. And she survived this. And I was like, well, sorry, what just happened now? You started this because of the trauma of surviving a plane crash? I've had, you know, recently I had a leadership one where I had a gentleman from the NFL, a former Top Gun instructor, a corporate, you know, trainer.
Yeah.
I'm like, a Top Gun instructor. Yeah. Shout out to John Minyard. Like, we've been pretty good friends. Like, he even sent me a hat for my dad's, you know, 72nd birthday, where, you know, like right from the Top Gun school, like I got the legitimate Top Gun patch and stuff. Like, as a kid growing up in the 80s, you know, watching Top Gun.
Yeah.
Like, nothing was cooler, man. And he, you know, call signs the Flash, and it's, that's pretty badass, right? He even gave me, you know, I have my unofficial call sign and stuff too. And it was like the stuff that's come from LinkedIn too. And then, you know, when I did get hired,
yeah,
I started something to give back. And I think that has actually been way bigger than Tallybook troubleshooting. Like I have what's called Pay It Forward Friday.
Okay.
And I've featured people who, you know, one of the best ones was just recently a Tyler Larkin. Was that his? But anyway, the guy, you know, they were closing down his shop. Janie reached out, hey, could you feature this guy? Sure. The guy had 7 job offers within 24 hours of the post going off and about like 20 interviews after a week. Like it was great. Like it, the power of on that platform, if you really want to utilize it, is amazing. And so I've tried my best to give back and help people because it's been a huge help to me. Right. And
well, Keith, you know, and I'm glad you brought up giving back because that is how you and I have been able to connect is through you giving back. And you've just recently or not recently, but you're on the board for the Oil and Gas Workers Association. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes. You know, Matt Cody, I met him a couple years ago. Someone suggested, you know, do an interview with him. And I shoot from the hip of my interviews. They're very, very rudimentary. I record on my phone most of them. And he's the only interview I redid because I never do any. And I just stopped eventually, you know, 10 minutes in. And I'm like, Matt, we're going off the rails here. I don't know, you know, if this is how you kind of want this to go.
Okay.
Let's try this a different way. And it's the only time Matt Cody, you know, is the only one I ever redid. And good guy, heart's in the right place, wants to, you know, be a positive. I want them to be a positive force for oil and gas workers. Yes. And sometimes you kind of got to reel them in and be like, oh, you don't need to attack that person. You know what I mean? Like it just, let's just say all the great things we're doing here because we want to win people to our side. And
yes,
we recently did this water drive to help the people of East Palestine. And you know, that worked out great. And happy to be a part of something like that.
Well, that was the drive that I want to talk about that you guys, I don't know how many pallets, but it's been at least 2 truckloads.
Yep.
That y'all have sent up to Ohio, correct?
You know, we were getting a great deal from Sam's Club. It was about $200 a pallet of at least 48 cases pallet. I don't know what it worked out to, but we had a few $1,000, you know, raised and then people just dropping off individually pallets themselves. And you know, very happy to do things like that.
No, we had an opportunity to interview Matt while he was there with that first load on the Crude Truth that we did an exclusive. It was pretty cool. So thank you to Matt for allowing us. But, you know, it's kind of weird how that whole thing has just dropped off the map. And it's a darn shame because those guys are going to be filling this for the next 30 years.
Well, it, you know, was going to drop off even faster. And then, you know, bringing a little bit of attention to it at least forced, you know, some people to go and show up and address it, which we're glad we were kind of a part of that. We were able to raise some of that, but there's stuff like that going on all over the country where, you know, there's only so many people you can help, but at the end of the day, you got to at least try, you know what I mean?
You have to. And I know that's one thing that you and the Oil and Gas Workers Association have been doing. And y'all were part of the movement to get, President Biden, now I do my best to show a little bit of respect, to get part of the North Slope up in Alaska to be open for production. And so he's assigned a little bit of that, but I know that the Oil and Gas Workers Association sent out a petition saying, hey man, sign this petition. Let's drill, baby, drill. And I think that just shows that you guys are pro oil, but really you're really pro American jobs. And I think that's the way to really look at what you guys are doing over there at the OGWA.
And you know, the biggest thing is to trying to pivot it to education, right?
Okay.
Why is it pro American jobs? Why isn't it anti? We're not anti against the climate. It's not 1985 anymore. There's plenty of great technologies out there to clean up drilling. Do it the right way. There's lots of companies doing it that way. There's still companies that kind of cut corners and do that, but we got to be the ones to police those, in my opinion, and do a better job of holding, you know, if you're not doing it right, you got to be held accountable because it blows back on all of us, right?
No, yeah, it's you know, if it looks bad on you, it looks in oil and gas, it looks bad on everybody if you're not doing the job right. And earlier, you know, I mentioned about how science has really evolved, and because of the science evolution, we're able to drill cleaner, we're able to find oil. You know, that's one thing I tell people these days is like, it's not about me not finding the oil anymore. It's harder now to get it out of the ground properly than it is to find the oil. You know, with completions and every well being different, it's actually harder to produce the oil out than it is to find it these days.
Well, and even producing the oil isn't the big, you know, demand right now, or the big producer of the CO2 that everyone's kind of worried about. It's the refining process. And those refineries are way, way behind in technology when it's not necessarily like, I had a show where we had some guys talk about module refineries and what they can do. They can clean up 95% of the CO2 produced, and they can be on such a small footprint that they don't even need a federal permit. Wow. And you can put it in places like DFW or Midland or places where, you know, Barnett oil is being produced, and use it to refine and clean up a lot of the CO2, clean up the transportation, you know, instead of shipping it all the way to Houston to be refined, and that, you know, frees up pipeline space. So there's, if the industry really wants, there are solutions to it.
There are solutions. The thing is that a lot of, you know, you mentioned CO2, you know, we have dramatically reduced our CO2 emissions since the 70s to where I think it's like not even 1% anymore or something like that is what we do here in America as a whole. So I find that interesting that people are still on us to clean up our CO2 emissions. Actually, I find it most interesting that people are on us to clean up when, you know, I do believe in like, hey, you want to make a change yourself or change what y'all are doing. I believe in that 110%. However, when America is already the gold standard on producing clean oil and gas, has the cleanest air, some of the cleanest air in the world, especially for a civilized, you know, major, not a what do they call China and India, a up and coming country.
Yeah.
But that we are a major superpower that is the cleanest, that we still need to do more here in America. And it's like, no, we've already done everything that we can. It's like, you know, go to Venezuela, go to Iran and see how they're drilling their wells. True enough.
And to me, I think CO2 has been blown out of proportion. I had another great guest on who was talking about, you know, and he's a big wig at a big oil company. I won't mention his name, but he was like, the increase in CO2 has drought proofed crops in India. Mm-hmm. It has made the Sierra the greenest it's ever been, you know, the Sierra, like the desert.
Yeah.
It's not the boogeyman that everyone makes it out to be. Yeah. I don't want poisons going out there. I don't want poisons in the water. So, you know, it's a matter of perspective and education. And that's, you know, the oil and gas workers, like, big thing I try and tell Matt is we got to educate people, not just on oil and gas and cleaner, better ways to produce it, but also that CO2 isn't the end of the world too. And, you know, take a look at Plymouth Rock. It's on the shore there on the East Coast. Yeah. It's carved in it 1620. It was on the shore in 1620, 400 years ago. We've gone through the Industrial Revolution, and it's somehow the water didn't go over it and stuff yet. So I don't know why the next 10 years is going to be the ultimate backbreaker to make it over that rock, but that's why education's kind of got to matter.
Well, you know, you mentioned there about the Industrial Revolution. You know, you're in the construction game with 413 Construction, correct?
413 Mechanical. It's a great company, started out of North Dakota. 413 is not the area code. It's from Philippians 413. You know, I can do all things through the power of Christ is the nice little what it was based on,
okay,
the scripture. And they have a big manufacturing facility up in North Colorado.
Okay.
The head office is in North Dakota, but we just recently opened up a nice big shop, nice big paint booth and everything in South Odessa. And we've started making a few breakthroughs there. Started in January with these guys. So once again, nobody kind of heard of us, you know, in the last couple months. We got followers on our page and jobs kind of coming in. I got pretty decent couple opportunities coming our way. We've already kind of done a couple jobs in the area. So
what kind of jobs have y'all done so far?
So we've done some grout and concrete work with, some midstream companies. Another midstream company has us doing their structural steel, like platforms and stairs. We got some header skids and lateral skids that we're completely piping up and doing the, we even partner up. We don't do electrical, but we'll partner up with electrical I&E companies so that they can come finish it off. So then it's just one module piece and we ship it out to location. With some generator moves. I actually just spoke to a guy, a bigger company's got a whole bunch of compressors they want to move and they don't want to adjust the pads too much. So they just want to grout it in place, even if it's 2 inches of grout, and that's right up our alley. Our guys do that. So there's some great opportunities. I heard you had a road to build at one point, so I'm still hoping you'll let me build your road, because we do earthwork. But it's been I originally went to school for civil engineering, and I ended up in wireline, if you can believe it. So it's taken me a little over 20 years to get back to construction. I did concrete piles right out of school for about 6 months, and road building.
But, really?
Yeah.
Oh man, concrete's no joke. That's some hard work right there. I mean, sometimes I think when you're putting concrete down hole, cementing casing, they make it look easy. I know it's a big orchestra compared to the guys that come out for the, to do a look back here at all the concrete work that's been done for the pavement on the roads.
Rebar really is where it comes down to. And you got to know what you're doing about rebar to make sure it actually works, or, your fiber to make sure that's strength, because oil field concrete is a different animal, that's for sure. But you don't want to end up with a giant pencil down hole either.
No, you don't.
They'll run you off for that one, right?
Shoot. Oh, yeah, just a little bit. Like a time to go. And no, don't take anything, just go. And it sounds like you do know a thing or two about civil engineering there. I'll tell you what,
I know enough to be dangerous. That's all I tell the guys. I didn't even really tell them that was that I went to school there. I let them try it because they treat me sometimes. Maybe I'm just a dumb salesman or something. I'm like, I might know a little bit more than what you might think. You can't get too much. I know enough to ask a question.
Well, Keith, I got to ask you, for individuals that are listening today that want to talk to you about 413 or the OGWA, or if they might have a great story for Tallybook troubleshooting, how can they reach you?
LinkedIn is going to be one of the best. My name, Keith Stelter. You can search me. There are a few Keith Stelters on LinkedIn, but I'm generally the most popular one on there I've found. So I will pop up on the feed. You can reach me at email, kstelter at 413mechanical.com. That's one way. I don't know if I'd give my cell number out. I get enough spam or something.
All those hockey fans, Canadian ladies.
But LinkedIn definitely is the way. I'm pretty easy to find on LinkedIn, I think.
I think so. And, I think what you're doing with Pay It Forward Fridays is awesome. I think, I know what you're doing in Midland is huge. And I mean that in Odessa, Midland, Odessa. It's kind of like, it's almost like a small Dallas Fort Worth rivalry type of thing.
And I actually do live in Odessa, but I have let it slide that you said, Midland a few more times than Odessa. But, it's been a great town for me and my kids. I'll always remember especially Odessa. Odessa even was better than Midland, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. My kids never had to wear masks to school. We had neighbors. All the neighbors' kids got to play together. So develop-wise, they didn't miss out on anything.
Wow.
And I'll always be thankful for that, because I'm from Alberta. They used to talk about Alberta being like the Texas of Canada. And it was not that way during COVID.
Well, let's say you actually grew up with Justin Trudeau, right?
I grew up, I left before that happened, it's been nice. I kind of left the U.S. during the Obama years. And then after that came back. So I've been able to pick and choose,
I have a joke about the,
So my wife, same kind of deal. We could get into politics, but I don't want to get anybody. I'm all for different sides and different perspectives, but at the end of the day, you kind of got to make a choice.
Oh, man. Well, Keith, I cannot, again, thank you so much for coming up from Odessa.
Hey,
to come do this, because what you're doing, people need to know about it. So please, everybody out there, please, you know, look up Tally Book Troubleshooting, Keith Stettler, 413 Mechanical, and what they're doing over there is great work, and also what he's doing for his charities is also great work. Let's see if maybe we can make him grow his hair out for another year, and then maybe charge him $20,000 for a haircut next year.
Ooh, that would be pretty interesting. That I would think. Be. You know, man, that could be. That's definitely a challenge to be had for sure.
I don't know. Well, Keith, again, thank you for coming. To everyone out there, please be sure to like, subscribe, and we'll see you next time on the next episode of The Crude Truth.
This episode of The Crude Truth is brought to you by Oil and Gas Workers Association, Sandstone Group, Air Compressor Solutions, Basin Fluids and the Fuel Pros, and Real News Communication Network.
The easiest way to start your own podcast and TV show? Real News Communications Network. Stand out from your competition. Produce streams of high-quality social media content. Become a thought leader in your industry. With RNCN, you get to be the host. We handle everything else. Tour one of our three locations in Dallas, Fort Worth, and the Colony. Call 972-402-6333 or visit launchashow.com to find out more.